The old bargain went something like this. Egypt supported the American approach to the Middle East peace process, and Saudi Arabia provided oil at a reasonable price and took the U.S. side in its confrontation with Iraq. In return, the United States let these governments run their countries the way they wanted, even if doing so entailed the growth and export of Islamic militancy and deflected criticism away from their regimes and toward the United States and Israel. Now that jihadists are in pursuit of nuclear weapons, this bargain no longer looks very good. The new bargain would be negotiated along these lines. Cairo and Riyadh would begin to take measured risks to lead their publics toward greater political responsibility and away from Islamist thinking and action through greater political participation and encouragement of secular opposition parties. Both countries would be pushed to reform their school curricula and enforce standards that would ensure a better understanding of Western history and encourage respect for other cultures. At the same time, they would focus more consistently on the welfare of their people, with increased financial and technical assistance from the West. The leaders of both countries would use their newly won credibility to challenge Islamist myths about America and the supposed hostility of the West toward Islam. The culture of demonization would be challenged across the board. Overnight change is not in the cards. The regimes in Cairo and Saudi Arabia face problems that can't be surmounted overnight without serious risks to stability, even if these problems were largely of their own making. The United States is not entirely free to insist on the new bargain either, since it will continue to require Saudi cooperation with respect to Iraq as long as Saddam Hussein is in power. This gives Riyadh considerable leverage. Nonetheless, change has to start sometime and somewhere. It won't happen without consistent American pressure and persistent attempts to persuade rulers in Cairo and Saudi Arabia that the long-term interests of their countries will be well served by a new bargain. Given the looming demographic, economic, and environmental trends overtaking the region, the sooner these new deals are struck, the better. At the same time, the United States will have to explore ways to improve the standards of living and the environment in poorer countries in the absence of economic restructuring and reform that are beyond the reach of governments and are doomed, in any case, by illiteracy and lack of infrastructure. Institution building and development of basic skills and infrastructure would still be pursued, but not at the expense of despair-reducing assistance. All of this is daunting and in many respects bleak. But the challenge is not all out of proportion to those the United States confronted and mastered in the last century. Hope resides not only in greater vigilance, but also in greater ambition. Our first reaction to September 11th is, and indeed must be, our own self-defense. Bolstering homeland security, denying al-Qaeda access to co-optable states and regions, killing and arresting terrorists, and developing a horizontal law enforcement and intelligence network to better cope with al-Qaeda's flat, decentralized structure and the standing threat it presents. Not all vulnerabilities can be plugged, and al-Qaeda need not be good all the time, but only lucky once with a weapon of mass destruction to trigger an existential crisis for the United States and its allies. We also need to convince Muslim populations that they can prosper without either destroying the West or abandoning their traditions to the onslaught of Western culture. That is a long-term project. Our determination in war against apocalyptic, therefore genocidal, religious fanatics has to be coupled with a generosity of vision about post-war possibilities. That Islam should warmly embrace the West is too stark a reversal to expect in the foreseeable future. But it is feasible to lay the foundation for a lasting accommodation by deploying the considerable economic and political advantages of America and its allies. As of September 11th, we are on notice to begin the project.